Okie dokie, it's 12:10 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Andrew Harris produces today. This is John Williams. It's Wednesday, 312-981-7200 to say hi to Terry Savage. I'll go first. Hi, Terry Savage.
What's going on?
Not much is going on here. I enjoyed your conversation yesterday on Chicago's Afternoon News with Steve Bertrand. One point I thought was particularly helpful was the sort of, and it's something we always tend to talk about, the decision to convert to a Roth IRA or a Roth to a Roth 401k or Roth IRA in a 401k, all of that stuff. I think that's something people need to know more about, myself included.
I guess it's time for a column on that. You know what's interesting? What's going on this morning? That nobody, I didn't hear the news headlines. They didn't plug me into Steve Alexander, but did he mention that interest rates are creeping up significantly on the 10-year Treasury note in that news report?
I don't think he did. Steve, you haven't touched on that yet, have you?
Yeah, I did. They're 1.33 right now.
Okay, Steve. All right. You're always ahead of it. I'm sorry they didn't plug me in early enough. But this is really interesting. We've been having this whole wire interest savers. One called the we is those of us who have, quote, chicken money, who I've been saying, please sit on your hands. Don't go out searching for higher yields. You have no idea how much more risk you're taking for a lot of complicated reasons. But now we're starting to see a significant move upward in the 10-year Treasury note rate. So number one, go refinance your mortgage today. And number two, if you've been saying, Terry, I can't stand it. Inflation's 5%. And I'm even getting a 6% cost of living increase this fall of Social Security. Why are you making me sit there earning a 0.5%? Don't blame me. Don't blame the Fed. And there's a sense that when Fed Chairman Jay Powell comes out this Friday and talks, they're out in Jackson Hole, that you will suddenly start to see the Fed is going to stop throwing money into the economy with its purchase of securities, and we will see interest rates rise. So I think today just might be that turning point.
Wow. You know, I'm still one of those people that think I can't control inflation, but I can avoid it. A lot of people, I think, feel, well, then I'll limit my purchasing. What I'd rather have is low interest rates for the purpose of borrowing. What's your reaction to that attitude?
Yeah, because you know what? That just dates you. That shows how young you are. But I'll admit to being older and like lots of our listeners going, wait a second, I was really good. I invested, so that's good. The market's at all-time highs. But I'm also at a stage where I don't want to take a lot of risk because, you know, retirement looms, all that kind of stuff. I just want to have some chicken money in the bank. And they're screwing me? Yeah, they are screwing savers by keeping short-term rates down. The Fed and the banks are very happy to do that. They get cheap money and they can lend it out and make a spread. But that has gone on now for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. Short-term rates have been kept down by Fed activities. And one day that dam is going to break, and I think that might be sooner rather than later. So here's another warning. This is not the time to take risks searching for higher yield. I think the market itself will say enough is enough. There's inflation out there. We demand higher rates. And by the way, it's not just happening in the U.S. It's now happening around the world. There's a lot of liquidity, and someone's saying we're not lending money so cheaply because we fear inflation. That's what's happening right now.
Is there anything good about that trade? That is, if I do have higher rates, I'll get a better return on a safe product in the bank or in a CD, right?
Yep. Right. And that's the whole point. And we've been, really, they've been stepping on a hose and the water pressure is building up behind it. And I think that that's going to burst at some point.
Is your recommendation, Terry, to take money out of equities for that purpose?
Well, that's an interesting question, okay, because you know me, I don't call markets. When rates go higher, typically that's bad for equities, but equities, stocks, have always outperformed inflation over the long run. And if we're really having inflation over the long run, you don't want to be out of the stock market. So sure, short-term rates may go up, but they'll never quite catch up with inflation.
Yeah.
They've got us savers.
But you're chasing inflation in that scenario, and I'm chasing the market indices. I'm just wondering if all of this happens, I presume the markets will go down, and I will have wished
but
I
don't
sold.
Don't presume that. Don't. That's what I'm saying.
But I just
There's
did.
There's still so much money out there, and where will it go? Typically, in an inflation kind of a scenario, it goes into stocks. So I don't, you know, the only time I've ever said, wait a minute, about the stock market was in early February, end of January of 2020, when I could see that as Europe was beginning to shut down, that it could happen in America. And I said to people, if you're going to panic, please do it now. The market was like at 28,000 then. I mean, so 6,000 points lower we are now. Because I don't want you to sell into whatever panic selling happens when the U.S. shuts down. But look, we're way, way, way higher than even that moment.
Still.
And I will tell you that I did a little bit of selling, and I never put that money back in the market. So I'm not the one to follow for short-term trading. But I knew that I slept better with liquidity. Now people who have liquidity are going, liquidity meaning money in the bank. So they're never forced to sell stocks. So you can continue your stock market investing. We're at all-time highs. But people are getting real antsy. I can tell by the posts I get on my blog. Where can I go to get higher yields? Higher yields will come to you. Don't chase risk.
Hmm. Well, we got a long way to go to get to 40,100, don't we?
Dr. Bob Frelick, who I haven't talked to him recently, but we just set the date for our January Executives Club economic forecast for next year. It's January 13th. He'll be back. Maybe we'll catch him in the third quarter and see if he's still.
I think that's a good idea.
You know, the guy's got an incredible track record. Outrageous, but incredible.
401k, you've heard of that before. He said the Dow will be at 40,100, 401k. He said at the end of the year, and it looked for a while like we were on a pace to do that. We'll check in with him before the end of the year for sure. It's 12:16. Okay, 312-981-7200 if you've got a question, and I know some of you do. We're already seeing the lines fill up for Terry Savage, the financial columnist at terrysavage.com. Let's go into the WGN Radio newsroom. Jordan, what are you looking at? Me talk now. On the last Thursday of every month, we do something called the Your Hometown Series. It highlights a town and what makes that town unique. So here we are next Thursday. Tomorrow is, I'm doing a good job of this, aren't I? So Thursday will be the last Thursday of the month. And this month, we're featuring Rosemont. They say it's all here is sort of the catchphrase for Rosemont, and it certainly is with the dining and the shopping and the trade shows and conventions. Some folks live there, too. We'll highlight Rosemont tomorrow. We'll highlight your town maybe, too. Go to WGNradio.com/your hometown and send in your hometown suggestion. By the way, it's all sponsored by At Properties, McDonald's, and the Village of Rosemont. 1221 on WGN. Terry Savage, all the phone lines are ringing. People got questions for you. Are you ready, Terry?
Do it. Yep, let's do it.
Okay, let's start with Kathy. You're on WGN. How can we help you, Kathy? You're on the air.
Yes, I'm 59 years young, and I've been in a 401k for about 10 years, and I'm with Vanguard for a retirement plan. What
right.
do you think of that, and should I change it?
Well, if you're in a 401k plan, you have the choices your company offers you. Good thing they use their Vanguard funds because those are low cost. And you're asking me about the choice of funds inside your plan?
Or about Vanguard in general. Is Vanguard
Well, you don't have a choice, Kathy. If the 401k works with Vanguard funds, those are your choice. So are you wondering about which funds you should be choosing for your inside your plan for your investment?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, look, you're 59. The statistics say you got another 30 years to go. But you could get scared if the market, for some reason, took a big dip. But I still think you should be at least 50 to 60% in the stock market. Because there's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in that diversified portfolio. So just without knowing anything more about you than your age, if you're whether you're handicapped or you're going to have to quit work early or anything like that, I'd say at least 50% in that S&P 500 stock index fund and maybe 25% in something called a balanced or an equity income fund. But your Vanguard fund, your 401k plan will give you a certain limited amount of advice on choices and risks. So I think you should contact the HR department and say, is there someone at Vanguard I can talk to, or do you have a tool here that helps me manage my money at this stage of my life, which is probably about 5, 6, 7 years before retirement.
Kathy,
okay?
Good luck. We're going to go from you to Beth. You're on WGN. Hi, Beth. You're on the air.
Hi. Need your help, please. I'm 70. I have $105,000 in my IRA. I would like to maintain $100,000, and with interest, you know, with earning interest over the next 20 years, is it safe for me to take out $800 a month out of there to live on? And could I, with profits and my taking out money, would I still approximately maintain $100,000?
Okay, what? There's a simple answer, no. But the question is really, how do I make my money last as long as I do? And that was a book I wrote, The Savage Number. How much money do you really need to retire? And the central question is, that's not averages or guesswork. If you're talking about $800 a month, let's just round it up to like $10,000 a year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
$800 a month, $8,000 in 10
yeah.
months, you know. So if you take out $10,000 a year, it's very unlikely that your money will last longer than 10, 11 years if your investment returns are just average. So at age 70, it's very likely you could run out of money by age 80. And this is why financial planners do something called Monte Carlo modeling. I'm going to ask you one quick question, Beth. Where is that IRA invested?
I'm an aggressive investor. I have, I'd say, 60% in a very, very good growth mutual fund. And I have 40% in a, believe it or not, in an individual stock that has given me over 100% increase in the last 2 years.
Which stock?
You know, there's an old saying, never confuse a bull market with genius. All stocks, practically not all stocks, but most stocks have gone up. Here's what I recommend. Where is the custodian? Who's the custodian for your IRA? Is it a brokerage firm?
I am.
Is it Fidelity or Vanguard?
I have both Fidelity and Vanguard.
Okay, go contact either one of them and say, give them your age, you're 70, and tell them that you want them to do a Monte Carlo withdrawal, investment and withdrawal scenario for you, and let you know at your age how much money you can withdraw from this portfolio and give you the highest chance that your money will last your lifetime.
Yeah.
They'll do that for you.
It's amazing,
okay?
it's amazing
not averages,
to watch. Yeah.
But I think you're being overwhelmed by the fact that you've done well on investing, and you're underestimating the impact of withdrawals, especially if there were ever to be a market decline. You're vulnerable in that kind of
thinking.
Good luck,
Beth. That's a good call, though. I think for all of us, one way or another, we're all trying to do the same thing. But if you've got $100,000 and you're taking out $10,000 a year, then you're going to need to get at least a 10% return on the balance to stay even.
Absolutely,
you need more than that.
Yeah,
right.
Timing is everything. There's never going to be another 10 years straight up. I can promise you this. Even though over the long run I am a great long-term believer in the stock market, I'd be willing to stake a lot of money on this bet. We will not average a 10% return over the next 10 years. And by the way, you have to earn more than 10% as your principal diminishes. So, but let's even leave that aside. That well will not refill itself automatically at 10%, number one. And number two, that's not going to happen every year over the next 10 years.
And what they'll do, by the way, for a Monte Carlo is say you need, you'll determine a number. They'll say it's $1 million. Whatever it is that you all come up with that you estimate, you do a calculation. How much money do you need to live on down the road? And then they say, okay, how much do you have now? And how well does it need to perform to get there? And then they run 10,000 scenarios, worst case and best case, and they give you a probability that you will succeed, that you'll have $1 when you die. And it's enlightening and terrifying when this happens. So
yeah, it's what it is they run historic scenarios of all kinds of ranges of past performance to give you that probability. The result is what you're going to get from them is a likely strategy for both investing and withdrawing that gives you the greatest probability of making your money last as long as you do. That's the way to put it. But this is not a guarantee. I mean, you can make your money last as long as you do. You could buy an annuity right now. But on $100,000, she's not going to get anywhere near $10,000 a year on a monthly basis,
yeah,
or even $800 a month. It would probably be more like $230 a month. Your money won't run out, but you'll get a fixed check, and then inflation will come, and in 25 years, that check will buy nothing. So there's no free lunch on Wall Street. You have to take some risks. But, a stock market decline could devastate her plans. The math doesn't work.
You
need to do this scenario, and it's not averages. It requires extensive computer power to give you.
And that extensive computer power
that
Terry's talking about is called a Monte Carlo modeling. Okay, it's 12:28. Let's pause here. WGN Radio News. Then more of your questions for Terry Savage at 312-981-7200. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Andrew Harris produces this week. I'm John Williams. It's Wednesday. Terry Savage at terrysavage.com is taking your calls. You're pretty busy on the phone lines today, Terry. You ready for more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we go to Ann next. Thanks for holding, Ann. You're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Oh, hi. The world is moving so fast. I was wondering if you could give me the definition of short-term and long-term for investment purposes.
Oh, that's a good question. It depends on who you are. If you're the tax collector, short-term is an asset that you hold less than a year, and long-term entitles you, currently anyway, to a break on taxes on gains. That's assets held over a year. If you're a trader, short-term could be minutes, day trading during the day. But if you're, your short-term in terms of investments would be like in a money market would be, or a six-month CD or 1 year, I would call that short-term. And anything longer would be either medium-term or very long-term. So just depends on what you're discussing and what your perspective is, frankly.
Are you thinking about something in particular, Ann?
Well, I was actually thinking from an investor and a tax standpoint, both.
The long-term, if you hold an asset more than a year and a day, you get, and you sell at a profit, you get currently a very nice tax break on the gains.
Hmm. It's funny because to me, long term is longer than a year, Terry. When I think long term, I think long term. A year will go like that. But when we throw those numbers around, that's an interesting question. Long term might mean as short as a year and a day, huh?
In terms of taxes.
Okay, good to know. Thanks for the question, Ann, and Terry, thanks for the answer. We go to Artie next. You're on WGN. Hey, Artie, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I was asking Terry, I was very interested in the backdoor Roth IRA. I'm 54, do not have an employee retirement plan. So we've basically just been contributing for the last 20 years into our retirement account. I had called our broker asking about doing a backdoor Roth IRA, and he was very much against me doing that simply because, and again, this is when they start to talk over your head a little bit, but because why would you pay so much in taxes to convert that much money into a Roth when you can actually use that money to continue working in the market? To me, I see it as a good idea, but he's just very much against it. I was just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, let's do a little defining. Backdoor Roth IRA is it's not illegal. It's an IRS-sanctioned method. So if you're a high-income taxpayer and your income exceeds the limits that the IRS allows for regular Roths, you might convert from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, and you owe the taxes on the entire amount. But perhaps your broker is getting paid based on assets under management and really realizes that if you decide you're going to take some assets to pay the taxes now to convert to a Roth, which you would do because you would think, gee, I'm in a position financially where maybe my tax rate will be higher later on in retirement, or B, maybe I don't want to be forced to make withdrawals in retirement. I have enough outside savings to live on. That would be a reason for doing a Roth conversion. But you'll take money out of your account now to pay the taxes, and if you're paying your broker a fee based on the total assets under management, that would diminish his or her fee. But again, each situation is personal. I can't think of a reason why, if he knew he or she knew your entire setup, why they might suggest that you not do it.
Well, because for every $10, $2.50 is going to go to taxes, and now you're only playing with $7.50 in a bull market, and you'd like to have that money still earning. So you have fewer ships in the water. You want to.
And that's exactly what he was talking about. Is why would you pay if we wanted to convert 50 or 48,000, whatever that minimum is, and you're going to pay so much in taxes, why don't you keep that money working rather than pay the tax man now? Kind of
so,
to what John
said. That's what, you know, you asked me why he might suggest that. Aside from the obvious that you want to keep it working, I believe in being tax diversified as well as investment diversified. In fact, John mentioned that I was on Steve Bertrand's show yesterday. We talked about many companies are now offering that in their 401k plan, you can either make a pre-tax contribution, a traditional 401k, or an after-tax Roth 401k their plan. They've set it up that way so that I can only tell you at some point down the road, not knowing what future tax policy will be, but knowing that you have a lot of assets that maybe you don't want to be making withdrawals, you know, at age 72, maybe it'll move up even higher. They'll force you to withdraw from your traditional IRA, and that will impact probably what you not only pay in taxes on Social Security, but on your Medicare payments. There are a lot of reasons to balance it out and have some after-tax savings. Now, I'll tell you when you don't want to convert to a Roth IRA. You don't want to do it when the market's at all-time highs. You want to convert some of your 401k to a Roth IRA when the market is in declining mode. I mean, on the day when everybody's panicking with the headlines, because you'll have fewer gains to take out. So that's the only thing. I did a Roth conversion a number of years ago when I had a gold mutual fund that I had really nice gains in, then that watched them all melt away, and I said, this is the moment. I'll convert to an after-tax Roth. So it's something you and your advisor have to work out.
But your cynicism notwithstanding about the motivation of the broker, I imagine there is a scenario where the broker's advice is good because you do want to keep as many assets in the market as possible. I mean, depending on this guy's situation, Terry, isn't that a possibility?
Exactly. I would never want to do the Roth conversion. I personally, I'm astounded. I hope Dr. Bob Frelick is right. And in January, we're talking about 40,100. I think we've had an incredible run-up. And that if you pay taxes on the conversion now, and then your value of your investment shrinks, you're going to feel a little bit silly.
Okay,
I don't think when the market is just, I think nearing the end of a humongous bull run might not be the appropriate time to do the conversion.
So kind of back to the original point that you're thinking that doing a backdoor right now may not be the wisest thing.
You know, this is so personal. I can explain to you the facts and I can explain to you the motivations. John says, well, the guy wants you to have a lot invested so he or she can brag about you making a lot of money. That's great. That's fine. Keep it. I hate giving money to the government. No matter under what circumstances,
You're going to have to sooner or later.
And they're going to force you to take it out in a traditional IRA. They're not going to force you or your heirs to take it out until 10 years after your death in a Roth IRA. So those are all considerations that relate to your situation.
That is
number
an interesting
one. Yeah,
point.
I hate giving the government money now, unless I was thinking that, well, maybe I could save money later.
Okay, Artie, good luck
that's
to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's the extent of our conversation about that, and that's the extent of our conversation today, Terry. As always, fascinating. You can visit Terry at terrysavage.com.
Thanks. Time goes too fast. Talk to you next week.
Okay, that's the plan. It's 12:45. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. We've got more business news. This is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. More trouble for Boeing as federal regulators review employee complaints about pressure on safety issues. A report in the Wall Street Journal says Boeing engineers who act on behalf of the FAA have faced undue pressure and difficulties in being transparent with regulators. The engineers say the environment inside Boeing doesn't support independence on safety and review assessments. A Boeing spokesperson says the company takes the matter seriously and will work to bolster the independence of its employees who work on behalf of the FAA. Chicago-based CoinFlip, an operator of cryptocurrency ATMs, is moving to the old post office downtown. It signed a 12-year lease to move from its headquarters in Westtown. The company will get a state subsidy of nearly $1.7 million for the move. Cranes named CoinFlip the city's fastest-growing company this year. It employs about 140 workers, and with the move will add at least 30 more. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
One of the most diverse areas in Chicago is Albany Park. We're talking Lawrence, Kedzie, Montrose, that area. And they've got an interesting Flavors of Albany Park thing going on, which, if I'm not mistaken, starts today. Dahlia Aragon is on a phone line. She's with the North River Commission and the Albany Park Chamber of Commerce. Dahlia, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing well. Good afternoon. So, quick correction. Flavors of Albany Park actually takes place for one day tomorrow, August 26th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. So we're super excited to invite anyone who wants to join us. Need to snag those tickets as soon as possible because we are on our way to selling out of one of the other routes. So one of the routes, Kedzie Avenue, is already sold out. So we have Montrose and Lawrence Avenue still available for people to come and explore the different diverse cuisines of Albany Park with us.
Got it. Thanks for the correction on that. And so you're doing it route by route. You buy a pass or a ticket for one of the routes or two of the routes. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so Flavors of Albany Park actually explores three different routes, the three of them being Lawrence and Kimball, Kedzie Avenue, and then Montrose. So the way it works is attendees purchase their tickets. This year, they can purchase the tickets on Eventbrite at flavors2021.eventbrite.com. And they pick which route they want to go to, and then, you know, they do a check-in at Nuna Kebab, which is at 4701 North Kedzie Avenue. They pick up their passport, which serves as their ticket.
Right.
It comes with a little map so they know where to go, where their stops are at, and then they're off on their way to explore the diverse cuisine of Albany Park and all of our small businesses.
And this is a one-day event then, huh?
One-day event, yes.
Got it. Okay, so I'm better that it's tomorrow than yesterday when those storms rolled through, huh?
Agreed. And Flavors does go on, rain or shine. So let's cross our fingers for some very nice weather and no rain. But, you know, bring your umbrellas just to be safe.
So when you get your ticket, then what is included with that? I'll go to these different restaurants and venues. I'll buy the products, the beverages, and the food and stuff like that, right?
No, actually. So if you get your ticket today for $30, your ticket serves as your passport to free samples. So each route has around 15 stops, so you get to have 15 samples of different cuisines or drinks throughout the route. So for $30, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I don't want to cost anybody any more money than they have to pay, but that sounds that's a pretty good value.
Yeah, and then there is a free after party. So there is a concert with the Luna Blues Machine taking place at Surge Coffee and Billiards at 3241 West Montrose. So anyone who goes to the restaurant crawl and wants to end with some free live music outside and maybe, you know, top it off with a cocktail, everyone is invited to join from 7 to 9 p.m.
Is there a certain ethnic feel or flavor to the foods? What are we looking at here?
So you are looking at all sorts of food. So you are looking at Latinx, you know, and that ranges from Mexican, Guatemalan, Ecuadorian, Salvadorian. But you're also looking at Middle Eastern, so Lebanese, Persian. You know, you can get some delicious pho at LD Pho, or you can get some, you know, other Vietnamese dishes. So it is, you know, very, very diverse. We have a very diverse group of restaurants participating this year. So, you know, it's all is quite the experience depending on which route you choose.
What a great way to explore one of the neighborhoods. You get your passport, you walk around, you that's the best way to do it. And then, of course, you're sampling the foods and the beverages as you go. And you can get tickets at flavors2021.eventbrite.com, right? Eventbrite and Flavors 2021. Is that it?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, one more time then. flavors2021.eventbrite.com. This is tomorrow. And I think you said Kedzie sold out, so you can still do the Montrose corridor or Lawrence, right?
Correct. Yep. You need to go and get those Lawrence route tickets if that's what people are interested in immediately because we're so close, limited amount of tickets left.
Yeah, hurry. Hey, good on you and good luck and good weather too. Dahlia Aragon is the Economic Development and Housing Organizer at the North River Commission. We're talking about the Albany Park Chamber of Commerce area. You can also visit northrivercommission.org. Dahlia, good luck, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, we hope to see a lot of you come explore the flavors of Albany Park.
That's the idea. It's 12:57. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom now. WGN Radio News is next.